Now, our health segment today was actually inspired by the Facebook surfing group I belong to. A post there a few weeks back alerting surfers to a relatively new surgical technique that can be used to treat the condition known as surfer's ear. For those who are not familiar with it, it's a condition which can occur not just in surfers. It's also seen in divers, in fishermen, in kiteboarders, really anybody who spends a lot of time on or in the water. And essentially, the bone inside the ear canal grows excessively and it restricts the size and the flow of the canal and also increases the risk that water gets trapped inside. So why is that a problem and what can be done about it? Well, that's a question or two I want to put to our expert guest, Dr. Martin Young, who is joining us on the line from Knysna. He's an ear, nose and throat specialist and is one of only a handful of surgeons worldwide who is a specialist in this newer technique called chisel surgery. Martin, it's great to have you with us on the show. Thanks for being willing to join us and welcome.
Great. Wonderful to be here. Many thanks.
Thank you. I know you yourself are a very keen diver, more than 400 dives under your belt, so you've got first-hand experience of regular immersion in the water. Martin, our human anatomy really wasn't designed for it, was it?
No. We've a tendency to trap water going in there really under the best of circumstances, and people who swim a lot frequently have issues and trouble. And when you combine that with doing a lot of swimming in water, which is cold and where there's wind around, it just compounds matters and it makes things worse. Generally.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I saw an online seminar that you presented where you made the comment that the number of cases of surfer's ear has surged since the invention of the wetsuit. And that was back in, I think, the 1950s. Is it just that people are spending more time in the water because they can now?
Yes, absolutely. The latest wetsuit technology nowadays is getting so good that whereas people use it within 45 minutes, 1 hour of surfing in really cold water, needed to leave the water. Nowadays, they can stay there for 4 or 5 hours sometimes. And that's becoming necessary with the growth and popularity of surfing and the crowded lineups too. So, so it's a good thing, but it has created a situation where we'll be moving from the global figures of 1 in 3 surfers getting surfer's ear to in cold waters probably 3 out of 4 maybe more. So it's a problem which is growing. It is,
Can you? I mean, I gave a very, very broad and unexpert explanation of what surfer's ear is in my introduction. Could you maybe just dig a little bit deeper and give us a layman's overview of what we're actually talking about?
No, you actually nailed it. It's a growth of the canal bone, which gets progressively more and more narrow. It's very dense, very hard bone.
Yeah.
And the first thing people notice is that water gets trapped when they come out. And you can actually see at a popular surfing spot, you can watch the guys. They come out and they take off their wetsuit tops, and next thing they're bouncing about on 1 foot. Run and get their water to drain. So first of all, water starts trapping, and then they get multiple infections, and then the worst case is those bones grow totally closed and then contribute to a 50-60% deafness too. So yeah, it's a big problem for them.
Okay, now you mentioned the role of the cold water. I know you feel quite strongly, Martin, that it's the temperature fluctuations as much as the presence of the water itself that is a big contributing factor.
Yeah, so the world figures, and this is looking at people that surf warm water as well, world figures are 1 in 3. So it's not just cold water. Cold water makes it worse, but it's also the wind chill, the wind shock. The person surfing, I mean, he will spend very little time underwater. Basically, it's only when duck diving or coming off a wave. But it's that that sitting around getting wet and then waiting in the wind, waiting for long stretches of time, waiting for a wave.
Yeah.
And it's that progressive shock between water temperature coming in and coming out the water and wind chill. And it's those multiple fluctuations that create the environment where the bone grows.
Which explains then why kayakers and fishermen and the like can also develop it as well as the surfers. I was going to say inexpert surfers like me spend a lot of time in the water, but I mean, Martin, how long does it actually take to develop? Does one have to be exposed to those temperature fluctuations and water in and out for months on end, for years on end, for more than a decade? I mean, how quickly does it develop?
Certainly varies from person to person. The youngest person that I know of that had surgery for it was 12.
Wow.
The youngest patient of mine was 16. Usually when someone's been surfing for about 5 years or so, you will see signs of it. Now, that's assuming that they surf regularly, once or twice or so every week. You'll see signs of it. Normally, it comes to the crunch within 10, 15 years or so of surfing. But the relevance in this is that if you've been surfing for 5 years or so, it's really worthwhile knowing whether you've got these growths or not. Because if you have, and you then take measures to limit the growth, such as putting in plugs or wearing hoodies and that, chances are you can actually limit their growth. But in general, people with it, they've usually been surfing a good 10, 15 years.
Yeah. Well, before we talk about the surgery, seeing as you've touched on it, let's go to the issue of prevention. We know prevention's always better than cure. And one of our listeners has just WhatsApped asking whether wearing a diving hood would help, saying, I sometimes use them when surfing and free diving. You've just indicated that a hoodie can help. What else can be done to prevent development of surfers here?
The most important measure is basically keeping one's canals warm, not necessarily dry, but keeping them warm and free of wind chills. So any kind of plug that you can put in, and the surf shops nowadays do sell very nice plugs with vents in them. They're fairly pricey, but that's one of the options. The cheapest option is to use ordinary Restic. Restic is a brilliant measure, and lots of guys do. So plugs work better than hoodies do. Hoodies definitely help, but if you're really worried about it and you show signs of developing surface area, then using her both is the wisest. Wisest method,
Somebody commenting on email that they have known surfers to use hair dryers to try and dry out the air, and they're asking, is that safe to do?
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. In actual fact, there are companies that make little battery operated mini dryers to try to dry the moisture. Now, once you reach that level of hassle, that in my opinion is when you should start thinking about having the surgery done.
Yeah.
The relevance is that the bigger these things get, and the less room that the surgeon has in which to work around them and take them out, the harder the operation gets.
Right.
So once you're conscious of water trapping the time, and you want it dealt with relatively quickly or relatively lower risk, that, in my view, is the time to go to a surgeon who's competent at managing the problem. Yeah.
We have one of those talking to us right now, Dr. Martin Young, an ENT specialist on the line to us from Knysna. And let's talk about the newer version of the surgery. Trevor's just WhatsApped us, Martin, saying about 30 years ago, a doctor told me to cover my ears while I was in the water to try and avoid having to have the operation. I had bad surface air at the time. I've been using Prestick in my ears ever since, and my ears are fine, is Trevor's comment. The operation, which used to be done as standard, is a very different animal from the chisel technique that you prefer to use. Do you want to explain the difference to us?
Sure. The classic operation is to use a drill, right? Now, in using a drill, you usually, as a surgeon, need to make a cut, which classically is a large cut at the rear of the cartilage of the ear, lifting off and cutting through the canal and lifting everything forward, then using a drill. So that's really how most of us get trained in drilling mastoid bones and things, mastoid for different medical conditions. Very few of us, if any, got trained in drilling for surface ears. Kind of a technique that we then learnt once we'd finished specializing, and we learned slowly and the long, difficult way. Now, the major negative about drilling, it's not so much the post-operative pain and discomfort that most guys get, but it's the drill noise.
Yeah.
And that's the major reason why a handful of surgeons worldwide have said, look, that level of noise creates an unacceptable risk to people's long-term hearing function. There's got to be a better way to do it. And we went back to the old surgical methods that used to be used prior to 1920 or so, roughly, when the drills came about. And that was using chisels. So really the main reason to use a chisel is to avoid noise exposure from the drill that can cause long-term tinnitus and deafness. All right. And those of us working in this field, we've seen the guys whose lives have really been made worse through the drill method of surgery. So the chisel method, the major reason is to avoid those negative lifelong long-term risks.
Okay.
The secondary advantage of it is that we can do it without making cuts. We work through the canal. We can do both sides at once. And relative to the traditional method, from the patient's point of view, from the surface point of view, this is chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
The old method, which many people still get done today, that leaves people very often in a great discomfort, pain, and they can be miserable for weeks on end, whereas the chisel method, relative to that, is quick. It's relatively comfortable. It's relatively pain-free. It heals rapidly. There's no big incisions. It's cheaper. It's quicker. It's really difficult to recommend anything whatsoever about the drill method relative to the chisel. The problem is 99% of ENT surgeons don't know how to do it. That's the issue.
Yeah. My understanding is it's literally 15 or 20 worldwide who are really experienced in using this method. For now, obviously, as training becomes available, that changes. Martin, we're lucky to have, my understanding is that there's three of you within the Western Cape. We are very lucky to have access in this country, whereas a surfer in Australia who wants to have this technique has to fly to another continent to get it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We just, again, for those who might have joined us late, we're talking to Dr. Martin Young, joining us on the line from Knysna. He is a specialist ENT and one of the very few surgeons who has this niche specialty of using the chisel method to deal with surfer's ear. Martin, somebody asking on our WhatsApp line what the difference is between surfer's ear and swimmer's ear. Are those similar or completely different conditions?
Well, the swimmer's ear, basically, that's the infection.
Right.
That people get through swimming often or water tapping. So surfers here, they, due to water tapping, when they get infected, they get the infection that we would call swimmers here. But you don't necessarily have to have surfers here to have swimmers here. The measures one would use when getting lots of episodes to manage it would be the same measures that a surfer with surfer's ear uses to try and manage their problem. Plugs and drops afterwards, that kind of thing.
Right. very interesting question in from one of our listeners, Martin, making the comment that they've noticed how sweaty headphones get. And this is a very relevant question for me, who sits with them on my ears all day. Can the use of headphones potentially play a role in the development of surface ear?
Not that I know of. Having said that, I have seen patients with people with classic surface ear who've never surfed in their lifetime, nor were they swimmers or anything of that nature. So yeah, it's not high on the radar from my side. Now, people with surface ear who then have to use headphones and that, they risk getting higher problems due to the moisture for wrapping and the risk of getting infections, yes.
Okay, thanks for that explanation. You mentioned that the new technique, or the chisel technique rather, is cheaper. Is it covered by medical aids yet?
Yes, it does. Okay. Yes, it is. Yeah.
That's good to know.
The usual practice with a drill surgery is you drill one ear at a time, let it heal, and then you do the other. That's the usual practice. A number of drill surgeons will do both ears in one go, but that's the exception rather than the rule. Whereas from the chisel point of view, we do both sides, which from the medical aid point of view is much better because it's one hospitalization, one trip to theater, and total cost-wise, much better, yeah.
One trip to theater. Is it done under general anesthetic, Martin?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you've been really helpful in explaining not just the condition, but the differences in the two methods of treatment. The million-dollar question then is, if somebody listening to this would like to explore the possibility of the chisel method, Martin, you're one of the people they can call. How do listeners get hold of you?
They can drop a mail to neisnerent@gmail.com. neisnerent@gmail.com. They can look on Facebook at Surface Ear Clinic. And I recently, would you believe it, opened up a TikTok channel too.
I absolutely would believe it.
Yeah. Called Surface Ear Clinic. Surface Ear Clinic.
Okay. Yeah. So those are the three methods. So either on TikTok or on Facebook, you're looking for Surface Ear Clinic, or the email address being neisnerent@gmail.com. Yes. Dr. Martin Young, great to have you on the show today. Thanks for a very enlightening segment and all the best to you.
Many thanks, Pippa.
Keep well.
Much appreciated. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Thanks for helping to spread the word that this option is out there. I'm wondering if anyone listening today has had the previous method or the more recent, the chisel method, and wants to give us a sense of what the recovery was like and the recovery time and what the pain level was like, etc. We'd welcome your feedback.